my grandmother was good friends with the lady who lived in this house, and so my brother and I came to live with her. I was 4 and he was 2, and she was a lady that came from Germany, and she was known to be a very good cook in town. So she came and lived back next to Harlow in Helvetia, and that's where she lived for 72 years, and she always had a house full of company and always did a lot of cooking and just inviting everybody in and always trying new recipes. And she did a lot of traditional German food, but she always liked to try new recipes as well. So.
And what
was of course, when she lived here on the farm, they had their own beef and pork and chickens and, you know, and growing their own vegetables and had orchards and, you know, making a lot of food from the farm and did a lot of canning and a lot of, and when electricity came, they got a big freezer and had a lot of frozen berries and vegetables, and then of course she liked it more like green beans and milk and frozen because they didn't make stuff instead of canned. She did a lot of baking, a lot of sweet pies and a lot of different things off the farm, apples and berries, and a lot of things that traditionally you may not have up there, like a lot of like elderberry cobblers and really good blackberry picking and up in the woods and blackberries and that kind of thing. Canned jars and jars of blackberries and you can get them in for pies and cobblers. Not so much anymore.
Okay.
I don't know what happened to them, but there used to be a lot of them. Of course, they would even make barrels of elderberry wine. They're a little bit tart. You know, take a lot of sugar when you bake with elderberries. But I remember the kids would make sometimes for supper sweets. They'd say, what is that for supper? And we'd say, that's an elderberry dumpling, we call them. And it was just like chicken dumpling.
Wow.
Only it was elderberries. And you'd put milk and chicken on it, and it was so good. Well, you put the elderberries in with the juice and boil that, and then you drop in the sweet dumplings. Like, it would be like chicken and dumplings, you know how you drop them in, only those dumplings would be more sugar, have a little sugar in them, so they'd be sweet. And sometimes, yeah. So sometimes you have breakfast, sometimes you have elderberries, but they really taste very delicious, like a fresh treat. We made lots of crowns in a big crock.
Mm-hmm.
We have a crock down in the basement. It's, I don't know, 20 gallons. And she had an old sweater, you know, with a knife on it, with a big wooden thing that could drive the knife in it, a real old one.
Yeah.
And she would spread the cabbage and put it in there,
mm-hmm.
and put the brine back on it. And then she would put a plate to stick it the hole and put a rock on top of it. And she made pickled beans, the same night. Dill pickled beans, plain belly beans. And she would make She made dill pickles too in the pot. And then she would put them out and bring them dry. So you wouldn't the same thing with the sauerkraut. You know, if you can, that's what it was better.
Yeah.
And you always have a can of it, but, you know, you made the sauerkraut at a certain time of noon so that it wouldn't get slimy, she said. You know, she always watched the calendar time.
So what's the time when you're supposed to make sauerkraut?
Anytime it's not fishy, she would always say. So she'd look at the almanac and you'd look at the little zodiac sign.
Okay.
And you know how every day it'll have like a zodiac sign for that day. If she said any time you do any kind of canning in a crock, jelly beans or pickles or trout, you never make them in the sign of the fish because the head's still, and that means it's just lining.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And planting the same way. You had the certain things you couldn't put together because they weren't friendly in the garden. You could never plant onions without beans because they didn't make good neighbors. And I guess it's just because they used the same nutrients from the ground. You know, so you'd have to just kind of move what needed more different nutrients.
So,
because
I know a lot of,
I know that she, when she made things, it was a lot of more German type things, but I don't know how that compared with the Swiss.
Okay.
You know, I think a lot of it just was things that they knew how to make from growing up, but that's just what they continued to make. Because when she lived in Germany, she was a housekeeper sometimes, and sometimes she was a person, sometimes she was a man. And, you know, she, so doing all those things, I think she just learned a lot of how they were doing day to day. But I know she would make things that we just love that we hardly didn't get very often just because some things that you make just take time to make. Like one of the things that you know that I loved was the potato bun. But you had to cook the potatoes and you had to let them cool and you had to grate them up and you had to mix them with the flour and the breadcrumbs and all the things and then you had to boil. So it wasn't something you could just make for supper in 45 minutes. You had to think ahead and so those were things that a lot of traditional things took a little bit more time, I think, they were getting on the cook stove and had the fire going all day, She made it, did a lot of baking, a lot of breads and rolls and, just deep stuff, and she also made, later on, as I was older, she made whole wheat bread, and you would think it would be the other way around. You know, that she had made the whole wheat bread.
Yeah.
But I don't know, she didn't. You know, she got whole wheat flour later, I suppose.
I found
and maybe that's what it was. A lot of it was just country cooking. They were in her head. She always cooked just by feel, by taste. But she was open to always trying new things.
So what were some of the special occasions? Like what would you have for Christmas dinner or any special occasions?
One of the best dinners that she made was like a baked steak dinner. You know, and I said they had their and it was just melted in my mouth. But she would always have gravy and potatoes and beans. And you never had dinner unless you had at least two or three other vegetables other than the spicy. And if we didn't have potatoes, sometimes she made noodles. They would just thick and doughy and just really good. And a lot of gravy with that. And then had sauerkraut, but we never had sauerkraut. It was always sweet sauerkraut. Always put brown sugar. A lot of times put apples in it.
So that would be apples.
So it was always country dinner, and always homemade bread or cornbread or biscuits. You know, just the kind of biscuits that we had for it. So I have a feel for it, and she said the one thing about biscuit dough and pie dough, you don't mess with it. You mix it, you knead it, you put it, don't keep poking at it because it makes it tough. So she said if you want it fluffy, you just mix it enough, knead it enough that it's well mixed, and then you leave it alone. She always used butter, and she made her homemade butter. When we were younger, she made her homemade butter. Of course, then as she got older and didn't have to farm anymore, she didn't have to buy any stuff. And then she had some things who made butter, so she would try to get homemade butter.
Mm-hmm.
So, she couldn't, she wasn't a big, large user.
Yeah.
She was more butter. Yeah, when we first came here, she had
so I know it seemed like everyone here kind of made the same
husband had gotten ill, and he was bedridden for like 9 years. So Jesus, one of those things, just takes a lot of time every day. You have to work and get up again, because I just didn't have time to do it anymore. She made cottage cheese, because that's a little easier to make. You know, you just have your milk and put it in the oven, you know. Yeah. So she did make cottage cheese. A lot. Little kids and a sick husband.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
I
don't know what to do about that. Mm-hmm, it is. And it's every day. Mm-hmm. And then it's depending on the cows and what they eat and the weather. And, you know, cheese is very touchy, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you either get it really good or you get it really bad. And it's kind of out of your control, your humidity in relation to it and what the weather's like and how cold. And, you know, summertime, it's awful because it's just too humid.
So what were the communities for celebrations that had food or centered around food?
Oh, I think growing up, the biggest food thing that I like to think is the chicken supper. You know, that was a weekend that everybody came and everybody helped, and then they got the chicken and had a huge chicken dinner. And another thing was Thanksgiving dinner. That was always something that the community wanted to put together. Of course, the chicken supper was like an annual fundraiser, you know, for the community building. But the Thanksgiving dinner was just, everybody got something, you know, it's about down
where it is.
Down at the home of the community
house. Mm-hmm.
No, good, big yellow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we always, this house has always been a house of people, and we've always been family and family and, you know, like today. Like today. But it's, yeah, it's always been that. And, the, you know, the Humble Chicago was always fun. It wasn't so much of a community eating, you know, there was always things to eat, and people always, you know, could dig anybody's house, and that's the first thing in. Let's come get that. Okay, you have to eat all the time. But, yeah, there's always all the activities, always fun, and a lot of people, but it seemed like a lot of times, if you went to the community event, you always had people, family and friends at your own house, so you just gathered back at your house, you know, right to the event.
And what was at the place doing, and what kind of dishes did you get in?
And the dressing and the mashed potatoes and the gravy. And there was I remember one time, and I don't even remember the name of it, but they were like really good. You know, most kids are like this. Those were really so good. Because they were like buttery and sweet, and I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just, I think it was like just a lot of traditional type food, you know. Home cooked green beans and fruit pies. You know, fruit pies galore always. All kinds of fruity stuff. So that we don't have orchids and berries and things.
So what are the things that you make now, and how has your cooking sort of changed, or, you know, carried on some of the things that you make now?
I think it just depends on, you know, you do your daily dinners, you know, at the end of the day. But I think we're just so much quicker than they used to be. You know, we have, you know, we keep like, we try to eat healthier, I think, for one thing. So we, my husband and I eat a lot of chicken, you know, chicken breast and things. And you can get those frozen, you know, and they're a lot faster to make, you know. And baked potatoes as opposed to just butter potatoes or mashed potatoes. You know, and vegetables, we try to eat, you know, fruits and vegetables and salads, a lot of salads. And I think that's kind of a big difference with how we eat now as opposed to when I was growing up. And the springtime I had salads. It was lettuce and onions and, you know, spinach, the greens from the garden.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember a lot of salads other than that. Unless it was a special dinner or a special company where you bought the salad special to cook. But typically the farmers didn't have, I don't think they buy lettuce at the store.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or fresh tomatoes. But because you had a whole basin full of canned mayos.
Yeah.
So you had your salad in it?
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, but now, you know, almost every dinner you try to have salad.
Yeah.
You know, that is one thing that's different than I know with growing up. And it was, if we had a special dinner or a special company, you know, like the aunts and uncles came and board, you know, a lot of times the board come through once a year just to see the family, and that's when you have to special dinner, special salad, and things like that. Typically we didn't have in, you know, September, we didn't have a salad unless it was a special dinner, you know. Not nearly as much because we don't have a garden as much because we can't keep the deer out of it. You know, you look out there in the yard sometimes and there's 15, 20 deer.
Yeah.
So it's a hassle to get your garden as it used to be. And they're way more. It used to be something that you just, you know, would see one now. And now it's like, oh, golly, don't we are
calling
you. But, so that's a hassle. And I think people are just more mobile now, I guess. And you have to take care of your garden. You can't go to the beach for a week and, you know, go to the rest for a week. And, you know, you have to do things when they're ready in the garden.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not the willing to do
that.
Because when you want to go, you know, want to go, you know, and you want to go do things. And so that's two reasons why. I mean, I, you know, there are a few things in Boston. We have a little garden, but not as much. But I do, if I get something that I want, for instance, I these hot peppers that I make that are my wife, so I get five cupcake peppers every year, and I go to Farmer Market and buy the three peppers. You know, and the same thing with the tomatoes or canned beans or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just go to Farmer Market and buy a big basket or a couple baskets or something. We get, there's a nice stand in Buckingham, and there's a nice farmer's market in Bridgeport, and up where Eric lives, they live in Westover, there's a couple of farmer markets up there, so you get some stuff. And it's really nice, you know, just really nice produce, and it's fresh, and so it's just like what you would have, only you don't have to raise it.
Yeah.
But there is one thing that I miss, and it's potatoes. I love to have a where you just go and you have them in your basement in the big bin, you know, a couple of bushes of them.
Yeah.
And so I end up buying potatoes a lot in the store. And potatoes like that, you know, when I was a kid, my golly, we'd have, you know, 10 bushels, 15, 20 bushels of potatoes in the basement all the way home. And then whatever's left over, you take them out and plant them in the garden, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
so nice having that kind of thing. And I think that's one thing that's changed a lot too, because somebody always had their basement full of things. And now it's like, okay, you make your way to Walmart. You know? The necessary evil Walmart. You do. And you go and you get the whole truck full of groceries. Then you come home and start the list over again because you're going to go off of that back.
So, yeah, could you tell me what you're making today and why you're making
donuts? Well, I made Bossmod donuts. It just has come tradition that everybody seems to like donuts at Bossmod time. So I just make a big pack of donuts and take them down, and everybody seems to enjoy them. My family and everybody knows them. And I make them a couple times a year. And I did promise my husband, I said, I'm going to try and make them more often since everybody likes them. And I did make them just last month for his birthday. So that's twice within like a month that I've made them. That's pretty good. And I think if I like them better, I'd make them more often. It's pretty selfish, isn't it? But that's what I'll do. These days, if I make them and I'm not moving them at any special time, I just let that about let them grow.
Yeah.
But since it's, I'm going to get them every day. I'm going to pan of hot water. And hopefully they'll raise them. But when Margaret was living, she would make them up a couple times a month. Or, and it was always like an expectation kind of. If someone in the community dies, and how they all, if someone dies, everybody always brings food and they have a dinner for the family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always, you know, Margaret said, well, I have my dinner. So they want them. You know, and when she used to make them when we were kids, she would make them like real donuts. I mean, they'd have a hole in the middle. And we lost the homeless around here. I guess it got thrown out in the garbage somehow, or got thrown out in the trash at the end of the day, and we have never been able to find them. I don't know, so now they're just like little, they're donuts, but I don't know. They actually cook better with all women, but.
Really?
Yeah. That would be wonderful. I bet I could go online and find one. I just haven't done that.
So do you cut glass?
A glass. And I always think, okay, now I have a whole bunch of those I can use a bigger glass for. If I don't have very much, then I want more donuts to use a smaller glass.
Mm-hmm. So you find them in oil.
Probably not even that long. I don't know. You know, I just never. Yeah. And I have, and it takes me a couple of times to get the heat adjusted on the oven. Or on the stovetop, just like. And I've not made them on that stove yet because the stove went out by the Christmas get together. We had to get them on the stove.
I
need
it
for Christmas.
I need it for Christmas.
Went out 2 days before Christmas get together. Came Kevin to town, said, go get me a stove. And I still have two ovens. I think I'm going to have two ovens.
Yeah.
The top ones are for the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you have a thermometer, or do you just do it?
I just take a little piece and drop it in. And take a bubble.
Mm-hmm. And then those are served in
mm-hmm. Yeah, we just put them down, and they just set them out, and everybody helps themselves. Yeah, that's always nice because people think, how much does it cost? It's like, oh no, this is for you to enjoy, you know, and everybody in town makes the special thing. Like, I know you said you were up at Allen's and she does the roadettes, and certain people make like special dips, you know, with and vegetable. And it's just nice to
have. Okay. Yeah. And then when Margaret made them, did she make them for Christmas?
No. And the reason why is because when she was older and no longer made them, Fasnacht was happening, but it wasn't a big event.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a small community. I remember being in high school and going to Fasnacht, and it was just like a few people went, and some people dressed, and some people did. It was kind of like a just an extra spirit in some time, and some people were to get a costume, but it was a spirit. And it wasn't like there was no refreshments, it was just kind of cost out there. And then it, Eleanor Mayhew had talked to someone and they were talking about making masks and they wanted to have it like a, you know, make it a little bit more of a bring it to the mask. And then it started and she had talked to people and then everybody became more interested and she came to school and helped the students make people in the same mask. And then it just really got more into it. And so that's when they started having a reception at Fasnacht for all the visitors and stuff.
Well, it makes sense for to have, like, the family at least when they're there to get them and do a new effect.
Exactly. That's right. Get rid of it. Get it out of there.
Did you, I don't know, is there anything else? I guess one thing I asked Eleanor at least one of them said, but are there any recipes that you were able to do that people used to make in town or Margaret used to make that people are making anymore?
Yeah, I missed like making quick habits, but then you add a vinegar, like a sweet and sour sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And put that and put apples in with it. I mean, so. And I miss the steak. It wasn't a bit. There was no fat. You know, there was no grease. It was just soft. I don't. But she had it was, you knew when she was going to be having big steaks because you feel. You would just be on and have that bore down just pounding and pounding. So you knew, you know, so I don't know, even if it made a difference about her sex, you know, because a lot of times when they had them do this or whatever, just they would have had to say, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, so hard. And it was just like, so soft. So I miss that.
Yeah.
And I miss even like, there's a huge difference in brown, made salsa, and salsa, if you get out of the can. You know, it's those kind of things. Those kind of things are just different. Those are kind of things for me. And it's not difficult.
Yeah.
And skim it off. Yep. And you take it off.
Yeah.
You just take it off, you know, and add a little bit more. Just make sure it's always covered. You have to make sure it's always covered. But yeah, those kind of things are there.
Yeah.
And it seems like the older folks who did it, they just kind of cut. They just knew, you know. Bless you, my God. They just knew. Feel the look, and certain jelly and jam, you know, things that they make like that. I know my grandmother used to make ground jelly. You know. Oh my gosh, it was so good. And we'd go out, and she said, "Well, go pick ground jelly," and they just grew wild in the space in the yard. And so we'd go out and pick them. And we'd eat them, and they tasted horrible. I mean, I just didn't even like what they tasted like. And she'd make this most wonderful dessert.
It was really
fun. Really fun. Yes, yes. And it was dessert were wonderful. That was down in Pendleton County. And yes, there are some growing down there. Because in the corner, they don't know how they should have a few. But there's just things like that that you don't even. So every now and then, something would cross your mind. It's like, I wish I had that. And she used to make, Margaret used to make like a Christmas. It wasn't a fruit cake, but it was like a sweet bread that was full of nuts, all different kinds of nuts, and raisins and dates and figs. And she called it a Christmas bowl. And it was so good. So those are kind of things that you wish to have. And then you think back and think, oh, how did I have that? I love the jose. But you know what's funny? When I go down, it's almost every time, and we talk about the salad, I get a chicken salad. She made it differently. You know, they have it, and they slice it very thin.
Mm-hmm.
But she would marinate like this big roast. You know, it's just like having a pot roast, except for what you call a sauerbraten. And it was, you know, like this vinegary gravy on it. You know, it's so good. It's so good. If it's too marinated, it like, she'd put it in the vinegar and brine. And she put bay leaves and onions and all kind of stuff. And that's the only place they can get that.
Yeah.
That's the only place they can get that. And once you come, you have to come back. You have to come back. And I think that that's, you know, some folks come and then get to know people in town. And, you know, we've had people come who aren't related to anybody here, and they just hear about it in their town, and then they become friends, and they come down, and they come back, and then they come back for all the events, you know, the fair, the hot knot, the, now we have a new guest in town, and, you know, so it's just nice. I'm so glad, Emily, I'm so glad.
Well, I
mean, let's check my door and see if it's doing anything.
Is there anything else?
I can't think of anything. I don't know. I'm just so glad that I live in the house. And I'm so glad that I'm living in the house that I grew up and friends and family want to be here. And, you know, it's just wonderful. And, you know, you just meet people and you want them to come and be part of your home and part of your food. And then you have people, you know, like, they come and they, like, Robin comes. And she's always, you know, when people come, that's the first thing you have to do, you want to feed them. But then they also bring, all they want to bring something that they make it special, you know. So, and you know, when you end up at the next year, so it's just, like, some of the things that Robin makes is just incorporated. It's just, you know, like some more ice cream and dishes. You know, and so you have that, and have different things, and Sheila comes, and she makes stuff that her mom made for years and years and years, Christmas, you know, her applesauce cake and things like that, but it wouldn't be Christmas without she would bring her applesauce cake. You know, and it's just, everybody brings their things, and you know, home and get traditional food, and Emily, you are so welcome. You are so welcome.
Okay.
Well,
let's see what
it's doing. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, it is
getting late.
I live in Morgantown now, but I'm from Elkins.